When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to another episode of Bucks in Six, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast brought to you by Fans First Sports Network. My name is Steven Dorf, and alongside me, as always, is my co-host Hershey Winkleman. Check us out on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter, and now TikTok as well, actually. And you can find us at Bucks in Six FFSN. And then you can find this and all of our other podcasts on either Apple or Spotify. So be sure to turn your notifications on and check those out. Hersh, finally, we've been talking about this all year. The time has come. It is time for the Bucks to, you know, get to the playoffs. We actually get to face our, you know, early season, in-season tournament rival in the Indiana Pacers in the first round. We lost 4 out of 5 games to them this year, Hersh. I know that you and I were both, you know, in our last podcast, kind of talking about how this was the team we wanted to see. So how are you feeling about this being our matchup?
Yeah, I like the, you know, I like the revenge factor a lot for this series. I know, you know, a lot of our players have been doing some talking recently about this Pacers series. You know, Malik Beasley saying that, you know, he was manifesting it and that he's wanted to play them ever since, you know, they lost those games in the in-season tournament. And then obviously Damian Lillard posting the other day a picture of him on Instagram with just the in-season tournament tank top on. It's pretty clear that the guys have, you know, they have some sort of animosity towards this Pacers team, Steve. But we definitely shouldn't overlook them. I mean, this is a team that is very good offensively, at least in the regular season, likes to get out in transition and run. Obviously, we know how good Tyrese Haliburton is, even though he did kind of, his numbers did drop off, you know, since we were playing him. When he was at that All-NBA first-team caliber level earlier on in the season. But, I mean, defensively, Steve, they're 24th right now. They've been pretty much in the bottom 10 throughout the entire year. So I definitely think we have some things to watch out for. But I think, you know, in the playoffs, when the game slows down, when it becomes more of a half-court game, and when teams really turn up the defensive intensity – and they also have 7 games to game. They have like time to game plan for this team specifically. They know who they're going to face. It's only the Pacers, and they have to game plan for this specific team. I think we're pretty much going to beat them. I think it's going to be a little tougher without Giannis. You know, obviously he has that strained left calf, and you know, he's expected to miss the beginning of the series, but we don't necessarily know the actual timetable for his return. But even without him, you know, I still trust Dame. I still trust his, you know, playoff instincts. He's been in the 61 career playoff games, Steve. Chris Middleton obviously has had great playoff performances in the past, putting up, you know, 40 points multiple times in the conference finals. And we know what Brooke and Bobby can do as well. So, you know, I'm pretty happy about the way that the tournament has turned out, or the bracket has turned out for the Bucks here. Definitely would have liked to have Boston face Philly in the first round, but unfortunately, the Heat couldn't pull that one out, but I'm definitely happy with our draw with the Pacers. I think it's one of the more favorable draws for us, and I think we should be able to beat this team, Steve.
For sure. I mean, this is, you know, even without Giannis, as you just mentioned, the Bucks have played pretty well, you know, when they had Dame out there without Giannis. And, you know, when you look at it the other way in reverse, we haven't been as good without Dame when Giannis plays. So, you know, if we have to pick between one of the two stars to lose, I mean, it's crazy to say, but I think, you know, this gives us our best chance of winning this series without Giannis out of the two. But I think that we also have the best player on the court in Dame over Tyrese. especially in the playoffs, right? We haven't seen Tyrese Haliburton play a singular playoff game in his whole career yet. And like you just mentioned, Dame has 61 of those. So I trust Dame to kind of get it done. And I know that a lot of people want to say that this was a throwaway year for him. I've, you know, been on record saying that this has not been a Damian Lillard type of year, but I have full belief and full faith that he can turn it on and, you know, find that Dame time playoff Dame stuff now that we're in the playoffs. So I truly do think that we have the best player on the court. And I think in, you know, in the NBA, that can really like, that can give you, you know, the ultimate advantage over another team in a playoff series.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I also like what you mentioned about the experience aspect of it. I mean, Dame, we've seen what Dame can do. I mean, especially with the way he's able to get to the line in the half court, draw contact, kind of pick his spots, get to where he needs to be. And also, I mean, he's just a class A shot creator. That guy can get a shot from anywhere. He can, you know, his step back is deadly. His sidestep is deadly off that one dribble pull up. I mean, and obviously we know he can shoot from like 35, 40 feet and make it. So, I mean, he's a killer. I believe in him. I love the guy. I think he's, you know, a great player. I'm super happy that we traded for him, and I really want to see it pan out for us.
And then, yeah, I also just want to like add, I feel like, you know, with the layout or with our current players that we have right now, there should be no excuse to lose any of these close games. There should be no excuse to blow double-digit leads like we've seen our team do in previous years. Like, we brought in Damian Lillard to be our second closer, or, you know, to be one of our two closers, him and Chris. I just don't see a reason as to why this team should choke leads or in close games should not be able to get it done at this point. So that's one thing I am also very excited to see this new look Bucks offense kind of produce. I want to see us, you know, win these close games. I mean, that's what, you know, all year we were saying that this team was built for the playoffs. It was meant to win these close, tough games. So time for us to really show that.
And yeah, obviously when the defense gets a little tougher, when both sides are trying a little harder, you know, those open shots or those open lanes that we were seeing, you know, throughout the season that the Bucks were giving up probably aren't going to be there as much. I mean, even in the play-in games, I'm seeing guys close out on threes that, you know, in the regular season, they normally wouldn't have closed out on. You know, they're really trying to rotate back, really trying to get back on guys. So, yeah, I just think, you know, playoff basketball is a whole different beast. And unfortunately for the Pacers, they have, like, one guy who's really seen, like, a good amount of playoff basketball, and that is Pascal Siakam. And other than that, I mean, they're like you mentioned, they're super young. Their best player, Tyrese, has not played in a playoff game. So, I mean, I just think, you know, they're too young at this point. I don't think they're going to be able to beat us. And I think the people at ESPN are absolute utter clowns for putting the Pacers and the Heat with better title odds over us, Steve. I think that's absurd, giving us a 1.6% chance to win the title with probably the best duo in the league. I personally think that whoever put that out at ESPN needs to be fired immediately.
Yeah, no, and I, you know, again, like, I've also been on record saying, you know, much earlier in the season, like, especially when we just hired Doc, like, this season's a wash, yada, yada. But, like, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't love our chances necessarily, but, heck, like, you're not going to tell me that the Pacers have better title odds than we do, or the Heat, without Jimmy Butler on the verge of not even making the actual playoffs itself, have a better title odds than we do. So, yeah, I agree. That's some ridiculousness. What even is seeding for, right?
I mean, exactly. We've been seeing this as of late. You know, I mean, these talking heads on TV, they just come on, they bash the Bucks, they say that we have no chance to win. It just seems like they really don't like Giannis. I mean, we have Brian Windhorst going on TV saying that Giannis is going to leave if we don't make the finals and stuff like that. When the guy's not even healthy right now, he's literally not even playing for us in the first, you know, couple games of the series. I just think, you know, the media needs to take a chill pill on the Bucks. I think it's absurd. I think we get way too much hate. And other than, like, the Celtics, I don't see another team that has better chances of making it out of the Eastern Conference than us.
Yeah, and speaking of Brian Windhorst, wasn't he the dude who was pushing the Giannis to Golden State agenda? Yeah, dude, clown.
Absolute clown. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, preview the other playoff series around the league, as well as some of the play-in games happening tonight for the 8 seeds. And we're back on the Bucks and Six podcast. I'm Hershey Winkleman. He's Steven Dorff. We're going to preview these upcoming playoff series around the league, as well as, you know, some of the games happening tonight for the eighth seeds, these last couple of play-in games. But yeah, let's start with those, Steve. We'll start with the playoff game or the play-in games. Tonight for the Eastern Conference, for the eighth seed, we've mentioned it a little bit previously in the first half, but we got Bulls versus Heat. No Jimmy Butler. I think he has an MCL injury. I'm not sure if it's a full tear or if it's just a strain. It's pretty confusing because a bunch of reports came out that said that he tore it, and then his agent came out and said that's not true. So I don't know what happened exactly to him, but he's definitely out for the rest of the playoffs. Still have Bam, though. Still have Tyler Hero. You know, they got relatively, you know, the same team that they've had all year long. It's just no Jimmy. And then obviously, you know, we know what the Bulls have. They've got, you know, DeMar, Vucevic, and Kobe White, and, you know, a little bit of Alex Caruso in there. So I think it'll be interesting. I think the Bulls will probably be able to pull this one out, but I think it'll be a tough, scrappy game, Steve.
For sure. I mean, with the way Kobe White's playing right now, it's going to be hard to not take the Bulls. He just had his career high, like 42 points in their last play-in game to get to this play-in game. But then again, it is Eric Spoelstra on the other side, and he's someone that's very tough to bet against. You even saw, like, they lose Jimmy Butler, and they're still competing with the 76ers. The Heat, no matter who they have on their roster, as long as Spo is coaching, they're going to be a tough match against it, whoever, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and, you know, whoever wins this game is going to have to face Boston in the first round, which is probably our, like, primary rival in the Eastern Conference at this point. You know, with a healthy Jimmy, I would have loved to say that, you know, the Heat can, you know, make a run at Boston and make it difficult for them like they did last year. But with no Jimmy and the Bulls as the other team, I think it's going to be a pretty easy path for the Celtics going forward here, Steve.
Yeah, and really quick, though, if speaking of Boston, if they don't, you know, make it to the finals this year, I want to see them get, if not, or, you know, more, if not more, whatever. I want to see them get the hate that we get from the media. Like, there's no excuse for them to not make it to the finals this year if they're supposedly the best team in the league. Hobbled Giannis, Embiid just coming back from a significant injury. There's really no dog in the East besides them. So if they can't make it out of the East, I want to see them get all the slack that we do, if not more.
I also don't want to hear about Jason Tatum ever being in an MVP conversation, probably again, until they're able to, like, win the finals or make the finals. Because I know they've made the finals before, but they lost to a team that they probably should have beat, honestly, in that series against Golden State. We've seen what Golden State has turned, what that Golden State team has turned into since. And that Boston team was probably better, if we're going to be honest. So they probably should have won that finals, but they didn't. And I completely agree with you. They have no excuse. They have the easiest path that they possibly could have had. They avoided Philly and us on the bracket. They're going to have to play us in the conference finals if we both make it there. But they have the easiest path to the finals of any team. They have, you know, I think if you bet $100 on the Celtics to make the finals, you win 40. Whereas if you bet $100 on the Bucks to win the finals, you win 800 or something. So the odds are super heavy towards them to make the finals. So if they don't make the finals, either Joe Mazzulla has to be fired or they're going to have to trade, you know, multiple of their guys. They got to change something up because that core, Steve, seems to not be able to get over the hump.
Yeah, no, for sure. That was a little something I wanted to add in just because I've been seeing a lot. You know, we were just talking a lot about how the media has been bashing us, and it's like, all right, our best player isn't even healthy, and you're talking about trading Dame to another team because he's unhappy. Like, all right, let's see the Celtics win a finals before we start talking like that. But a couple of the other interesting playoff series that I wanted to touch on, Hirsch. Lakers versus Nuggets. You know, I'm a big LeBron guy. Rematch of last year's series. Do you think that there's any way that LeBron can actually make it past the reigning champs in the Nuggets this year?
I'm going to go with no. I just don't think that this Lakers team is talented enough or simply is good enough to beat the Nuggets. You know, obviously some people like to say it was a close sweep last year and that, you know, if the Nuggets were making circus level shots to win these games, but
bro, you close sweep. Oh,
I mean, I love LeBron. I respect him. He's in my opinion, the second greatest player ever to play. But, you know, he's 40 years old. Anthony Davis is inconsistent. And they're going up against an absolute buzzsaw, Steve. I mean, the Nuggets are a juggernaut in the playoffs, and I feel like they get better from the regular season to the playoffs. It seems like their team game translates even better to playoff basketball than it does in the regular season. So yeah, if I were to predict, I would probably say Nuggets in five.
Don't hate that. I mean, yeah, I think the Nuggets are my pick to make it out of the West again this year. So I don't really see the Lakers beating them at this point. Like you mentioned, I think that Anthony Davis at this point is too inconsistent of a superstar to rely on as like your number two on a team that has Jamal Murray, who likes to, you know, improve his game in the playoffs. He gets better in the playoffs. Nikola Jokic, we know what Nikola Jokic is. So yeah, give me the Nuggets in five or six, probably five, maybe four, another close sweep if you want to call it that. But it would be really cool to see the Lakers, you know, take them down, but I don't see it happening. And then, you know, the other super interesting playoff series in the West that I wanted to talk on was the Mavs and Clippers, Hirsch. I think you and I are going to be split on this one. But that's going to be a super interesting playoff series. I think either of those teams could also make it to the finals or represent the West in the finals. But looking forward to seeing Luka and Kawhi match up.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit off the podcast, but I'm super high on the Mavericks this playoffs. I think, you know, Luka's bound to at least have, you know, one of these deep playoff runs in him. I think, you know, that chemistry with Kyrie, it definitely took him, you know, a year to kind of get it, that gel together. But, you know, since midway through the year, I mean, this Mavericks team has looked deadly. I think they were still a 50 win team. They were only like four or five wins off the, you know, the top seeds in the Western Conference. And I really like the makeup of this team, you know, with Luka, who's obviously a do it all superstar. Kyrie Irving can play make a little bit, but is mainly just an absolute bucket getter, a scorer and a shot creator. And then you have the role players on the Mavericks too, which I really respect. A guy like Derek Lively, you know, they drafted him in the first round. He's a rookie and he's stepped up for them this year. He's really filled that role perfectly that they needed as that kind of rebounder and that role man that can catch lobs in the paint. And then, you know, obviously we know what Tim Hardaway Jr. can do. I mean, that guy is a flamethrower. He can get hot. And when he gets hot, you know, it's probably lights out for the other team because it's really hard for, you know, teams to deal with three guys who can get any shot they want. It's just a matter of, you know, when he gets hot and if he gets hot, but he's the kind of guy who's going to take shots regardless. You know, I just really like this team. Obviously have doubts in Jason Kidd. He hasn't done, you know, a great job in his coaching career so far, but you know, I just really trust Luka. And I, something about this Clippers team, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, not super healthy right now. Some people are saying that he might not even play in this series. Russell Westbrook just coming back from his hand injury, and you know, we don't necessarily know how effective he's going to be in the playoffs, you know, in his older age. And then the other two guys are Paul George, who's known as a guy who kind of shrinks in the playoffs. I mean, they call him way off P. They call him all these nicknames about how he
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Nah, it's all over Twitter. People say it, but it's funny, but there's a bunch of these nicknames that they're calling Paul George about how he doesn't show up in the playoffs. I mean, Dame's literally single-handedly beat him before in the playoffs. And then obviously we know what James Harden is in the playoffs. James Harden is probably the biggest playoff choker of our generation. So I just don't think that this Clippers team is going to be, I mean, if Kawhi is there, I think the Clippers have a chance. But if Kawhi doesn't play in the series, I think the Mavericks in six or five.
No, that's fair. I think with or without Kawhi, the Clippers are going to be a tough team to match up against again. I mean, Tyronn Lue, you know how I think he's a great coach, one of the best coaches in the NBA. And I'm not very keen on Jason Kidd. As Bucks fans, you know, we're very grateful for him, you know, developing Giannis into the player that he is today. But when it comes to winning basketball, I think that there are definitely much better coaches out there. So yeah, I mean, we've seen in the past how big coaching and how important coaching can be in a playoff series. So give me that edge for the Clippers. And then, yeah, I mean, with or without Kawhi, it's going to be tough. But Paul George, I know that, you know, way off P or whatever you want to call him, but we've also seen Paul George explode in the playoffs and play at an even higher level than he, you know, is used to normally playing at.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I think it's just a matter of which kind of player you're going to get that day. I mean, it just seems like these guys like James Harden and Paul George, you know, they can go off for 40 or they can, you know, be 6 of 20 and have like 15 points. And it's like super inefficient. So I think it's just either way.
And then don't sleep on Norman Powell, though, either. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, you know, theoretically, if we were to play them in the finals, like, Norman Powell would be that guy that would torch us all game. Like, that's the type of guy Norman Powell is. Can't sleep on him. And, you know, if they are missing one of their, you know, superstars, Kawhi, Paul George, whatever, Norman Powell is the guy who's going to fill in those shoes. So, and he's pretty good at it, and he's been good at it all year.
No, he definitely is. He kind of fills in that Tim Hardaway Jr. role for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. As that, you know, scoring six man. But one of the other series, Steve, in the Eastern Conference, I did kind of want to ask your opinion about, and that would be the Sixers versus the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks did win the season series against the Sixers, but, you know, obviously Embiid was out for, what, 40 games this year. Obviously, he's back now, but still a little bit banged up. He looked like he was kind of hobbling in that during the end of that Heat game, and he had a pretty poor first three quarters. I think he had 12 points in the first three quarters. He ended up having a really nice fourth quarter to kind of push them over the top here. But, you know, no Julius Randle for the Knicks, but OG Anunoby is back. Jalen Brunson is playing at a completely different level than he did play last year. You know, I hate to say it, but I think I might have the Knicks in seven.
Yeah, this is, again, I mean, just looking at all the, like, the slate of these games, like, it's going to be a really, really exciting first round. One of the more exciting first rounds, at least, that I can remember. But yeah, I totally agree. It's probably going to seven. The Sixers are one of those teams that should not be where they are right now. They are, as you said on last week's podcast, they're a fraudulent seven seed in the sense that they should be a two seed or a three seed. And they're playing a two seed. But yeah, it's going to seven. I'm going to have to lean with the Sixers here. The Knicks aren't fully healthy. Sixers have the best player on the court, and I understand Jalen Brunson has played at an all-NBA level this year, but Joel Embiid is an MVP-level player, last year's MVP. Tyrese Maxey has gotten time this year to now kind of, you know, be the guy on that team. So even if Embiid isn't playing at his best, like, Maxey knows how to step up now. He's had the entire year to practice that. And again, I really, really like Nick Nurse. That's the guy that, you know, you and I, we both wanted him this year. We would have loved to have a Nick Nurse as our coach, but I just think the Sixers are in a good situation here to beat the Knicks outside of not having that home court. So I think I'm going to have to go with the Sixers in seven.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a really tough, gritty series, Steve. Obviously, you know, Tom Thibodeau has a lot of experience as well in the playoffs. Hasn't necessarily gotten over the hump as a head coach, but, you know, we know what he can. We've seen what he can do, you know, with those Derrick Rose-led Bulls teams in the past. You know, those Wolves teams that he was coaching with Cat and Jimmy and that group of guys. And then obviously this Knicks team that has, you know, made some runs. Obviously last year they beat the Cavs in the first round, which was, you know, unexpected for some people. And they just play a really gritty brand of basketball, Steve, obviously, with, you know, trading for a guy like OG, who's known as like a really, really good defensive wing. I just think that defensively, this Knicks team is going to be really tough to handle in the playoffs, especially when it's more of a half-court game and they can really kind of show their physicality and show their grit and their hustle. And I think, you know, with Mitchell Robinson back and healthy, and then also, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein playing at a good level, I think they're going to have at least, you know, a couple of bodies to throw at Embiid. I'm not saying that they're going to stop him at all. I don't think you can, but I think if you can slow him down a little bit and then basically just have Jalen Brunson playing against Tyrese Maxey, I think that that's a recipe for success for the Knicks. But yeah, Steve, I agree. I think this is going to be a super fun playoff first round.
100%. I mean, you know, for Bucks fans, hopefully a lot more fun than last year's. And then just want to circle on back to actually our playoff series, Hirsch. We never really did any prediction or whatever. So how do you think our series goes?
I'm going to go Bucks in six. It's for the culture, but I just think that if we can, you know, hold home court, you know, win at least the first game, if not the first two, I think we're going to be in a great position to win the rest of the series. And I think when Giannis comes back, it's curtains for the Pacers. I don't think they're going to win a game once he comes back. I think their only chance to win games is when he's out. And I still have faith in Dame and Chris that they're going to be able to take us to the finish line here in this first round. So yeah, I'll take Bucks in six.
Yeah. Assuming Giannis can return by like game three or four, I'm going to have to say Bucks in six or seven as well. I don't see us beating them in five or even four. Just obviously Giannis being out is going to, you know, it's going to hinder us. And as good as we have been without Giannis, as long as Dame and Chris are there or whatever, Giannis is still our guy. He still puts up 42 points a game on this Pacers team, and we're truly going to miss him. We're really going to miss him out there. But if we can get him back by game three or whatever, yeah, give me Bucks in seven. I'll make it interesting, Bucks in seven, and that's simply because we're missing our best player. But I think that this Pacers team is really going to struggle against us. They're going to be playing a completely new Bucks team than they've saw earlier in the season. New coach, like you said, no Pat Bev. Pat Bev's going to be on Tyrese Halliburton, and he's going to, you know, show him that signature motto that he has, bell to ass. Like, he's going to be on him all game, Hirsch.
He is. I'm very excited to see it, Steve. Should be very exciting. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, first game is on Sunday night, so Bucks fans, get excited because it's playoff time. But I think that's going to be it for today's episode of the Bucks and Sticks podcast. Make sure to leave a like, download, subscribe, and follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at Bucks and Sticks FFSN. I'm Hershey Winkleman. He's Steven Dorff. And let's go, Bucks.